That season is upon us. We have moved through this year, and albeit difficult and different, we're now in the December month. This week begins the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, which is an offering for foreign missions. And so all through this month, you'll have the opportunity to pray and the opportunity to give for this effort to make sure that those who are working out in the fields out across the world will continue to be supplied and able to do the work that the Lord has called them to. You will see a display out in the foyer if you go out the doors out here on my left to your right, and there's a display out there. There's some envelopes on the table out in the foyer for Lottie Moon. We encourage you to take that, pray over it, and bring your offering back when the Lord moves you to do that. There are also some brochures that give some snippets of stories and some areas of service around the world that you can pray for some missionaries. So pick one of those up as well. The Wish Tree Ministry is underway. The tree is out in the foyer. There are names of some children in homes that probably will not have a very good Christmas this year unless someone helps. And so it gives us an opportunity to be able to invest in some lives, folks in our community. And so we encourage you to go by there and, again, prayerfully look that over and see where you might be able to minister some kindness during the season. We will be giving out Christmas food box donations to those in our community that will be selected. And if you wish to nominate somebody to receive a box, please contact the church office and let us know. It helps if you have a physical address and phone number so that we can contact them and follow up. We also are making collections regarding donations to that ministry. If you want to give some non-perishable items, there are some places around the campus where you can drop off some items in boxes, and we will gather those together and then distribute them into the separate boxes to give those out on the appropriate date. And it is going to be on the 20th of this month, I believe, is that Sunday, the 20th? I don't know. Is that right? The 20th, and it'll be about 4:30 in the afternoon. We will gather together to take those boxes and distribute them to our community. So we encourage you to be praying about your part in that as well. Also, last week we mentioned the Texas Baptist encampment, the need that is going on at the local Palacios encampment because of the many camps that had been canceled and put off this past year. They're about 90% behind in their budget. And our church does donate, we do give, but they are making a plea for any other donations that could be made. Again, pray for that, pray about that, and see if the Lord might move you to give an individual donation, either on a regular basis or one time. There are some flyers out in the hallway, some on the bulletin boards, and then some out at the table in the foyer, and also at the information desk down in the Welcome Center. Yeah, pick those up and pray over that. It is also the time of year for Salvation Army bell ringers. Our headquarters for Salvation Army have informed us that if our community has a mask ban of any kind, that we are to comply with that particular kind of mandate. And so if you are inclined to not wear a mask, you may not want to sign up. But if you are inclined to wear a mask, we encourage you to sign up. I have sign-up sheets down at the Information Center. The First United Methodist Church, I gave one of their members the list, and they already filled up Friday, the very first Friday, which is Friday the 4th. And so we don't even have to worry about the first Friday, but they will be ringing the bell for us. We also are going to have some opportunities on Saturdays, the first three weekends in December, to be out at Alamo Lumber Company in front of their place during the lunch hour. And so there are two different sign-up sheets. We encourage you to look those over and be thinking about how you might participate. We do have, if you don't have your own mask, we have a little package of PPEs that you can put on, your own apron. You have a mask included and some gloves so that as you're handling bells that someone else has handled, you won't be endangered. So we encourage you to participate in that as you see fit to do. That is all that I have in the way of announcements. So let's pray and invite God to be in our midst. We do have several in our church family that have been ill that have been in the hospitals, and so let's remember to lift them up at this time as well. Father, we're humbled before you this morning and acknowledging that you are sovereign God, that you are gracious, you are merciful. Lord God, you are so compassionate and good. And Lord God, we want to worship you today, and we ask you to be in our midst, to stir us up by your present Holy Spirit, and Lord God, to give us eyes that see you clearly and hearts that are receptive as you reveal yourself to us in this time. Lord God, we thank you for the sacrifice of Christ, his death and resurrection, and for the faith that you've given us to trust you for that salvation. We pray now, Father, that you would stir us up to give you all the praise and the thanksgiving and the honor of which you're worthy. We do want to be mindful today, Father, that there are many in our church family who have been put in the hospital, some that have contracted coronavirus, some that, Father God, are just sick from other things. We pray that you would apply healing and encouragement and peace to their lives, the lives of their families who are concerned for them. I pray for hospital workers who will be working with some of them, and that, Lord God, you give wisdom to doctors, insight as they make their determinations on how they can help these individuals and families. Father, we pray that you give us impression by your Spirit as to how we can be of help to these who are coming through times of crisis. And Father, may we love one another as you've called us to do in that way. Now, Father, as we focus our attention upon you, we pray for your Spirit to have freedom to move in our midst and to draw us near to you as well as to one another, that you might be glorified and exalted this morning. Lord God, you're worthy. We love you. Thank you for loving us first through Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Brother Alec.
Amen. Well, good morning, church. It is great to be back with you after being out a couple weeks, and we are just glad to be back to worship with you. I'm also excited because this week marks the first week of the Advent season for this year. And if you are unfamiliar with what Advent is, the nuts and bolts of it is it's essentially, for the believer, the road that we can take up to Christmas. I know a lot of times we just, as soon as December 1st starts or the end of November starts, it's all Christmas all the way, and that's wonderful and good and right. Advent gives us a different little aspect to take that path where week by week we have an opportunity to meditate on these key themes that lead us up to the ultimate celebration on Christmas of the coming of our Savior, the first coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so this week being the first week, it's historically known as the Week of Hope. And so as we join together in lifting our voices and lifting prayer to our Lord Jesus Christ, I want to just invite you to meditate, focus on, let your heart be stirred to remember the hope that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ, the hope that has been proven throughout the ages, that has been proven through Scripture, and the hope that we're promised will come again. So, church, I want to invite you to stand as we sing together.
Israel, that mourns in lonely exile.
Lift high your name. Remember the hope that we have in you. We just ask that you would move past whatever has been going on in our weeks, in our days. Lord, even for those who are struggling harder than some of us, remind us of the hope that we have in you that cannot be stolen away, that never fades, and is true to the end. Lord, encourage us in our hearts. Still our minds from worry. And Lord, we just ask that you would be glorified greatly as we continue in lifting high your name. Lord Jesus, it's in your precious name that we pray. Amen.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the transfixed on Jesus' face. praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God.
Amen. And church, this next song that we're going to sing together is titled, I Will Wait for You. And this song comes out of Psalm chapter 130. And before we sing it, I want to read those 8 verses of Psalm 130 for us. It says, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. I will wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than a watchman waits for the morning. Yes, more than a watchman waits for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption. And he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Amen. And church, that is, in a nutshell, our hope, is that we can cry out to the Lord, even in our iniquities, and know that He is good to forgive, and that the gospel is true. And it has been proclaimed not just in the New Testament, but it's actually all the way back in Genesis chapter 3, after the fall, after everything was fallen from its perfect state, the Lord gave the promise, the hope to come. And that is the hope that we sing of even now. And so, church, this is how the chorus of the song will go, and then we'll sing it together.
I will wait for you. I will wait for you on your word. Soul is satisfied.
Out of the depths I cry to you.
Out of the depths I cry to you. In darkest places I will call. Incline your ear to me anew, and hear my cry for mercy, Lord. Were you to count my sinful ways, how could I come before your throne? Yet for forgiveness meets my gaze, I stand redeemed by grace alone. I will wait for you, I will wait for you on your word. I will rely, I will wait for you, surely wait for you, till my soul is satisfied.
So put your hope in God alone.
So put your hope in God alone. Take courage in His power to save, completely and forever won. By Christ emerging from the grave, I will wait for you. soul is satisfied. Now he has come to make a way, and God himself has paid the price. Let all who trust in him today find healing in his sacrifice. Oh, let all who trust in him today find healing in his sacrifice. I will wait for you. I will you through the storm and through the night. I will wait for you, surely wait for you, for your love is my delight. I will wait for you. I will wait for you through the storm and through the night. I will wait for you. Surely wait for you love is my delight. I will wait for you, I will wait for you through the storm, through the night. I will wait for you, surely wait for your love is my delight.
Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity to be here together and worship corporately during these times. God, I thank you for your sovereignty and your faithfulness to us. Please just prepare our hearts for the message and allow it to edify us. God, give us the boldness to love like you and live lives reflecting the nature of your Son. Be with us today and allow us to be focused on bringing glory to you. Thank you for loving us and lavishing your grace and mercy on us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Alec and Hannah. Last week, we were in the book of Ephesians, and as we were in that study, speaking about unity, we noted those that God has placed in the church or given to the church as leaders, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and the purpose of them being given to the church is for equipping of the saints for the work of service. It is so that the body is built up in Christ, that they're trained, that all of us together as the body attain to the unity of the faith and to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. There's purpose in God placing leaders in the church. The scripture speaks about this high calling. Those that are called have great responsibility to be good stewards in the stead of the Father as they speak to God's people. The Scripture tells us that we are to appreciate our leaders, that they are to be given a double standard of honor, and oftentimes it's hard to fight through that to give them the honor that they deserve. The purpose for leaders in the church is not so that they can lord over the rest of the congregation. It's not so that they are exalted or put on a pedestal above others. Just read this morning in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3, there was a rebuke for that kind of reproach to anyone who might be called to lead a church. In fact, in the Old Testament, you find again and again that the prophets spoke towards priests and prophets and false teachers and to elders who did not lead appropriately, who did not shepherd the flock the way the Lord God had called them to. And so there was great rebuke for those who had been given that great responsibility and were not compliant to it. The New Testament even warns those that are called to that you will be judged to a higher standard when you stand before the Lord in judgment in the last days. And so there is a great high calling there, but it is not the all in the church. As leaders do their job faithfully, and administer grace and truth to the body of Christ, then the body is able to function the way God's called it to. And there are many within the body that are of great importance to the church. In fact, every member of the body has its place. And so we need to make sure that we are mindful that there are those in the household of God who may not be called to the high calling of teacher or preacher, and yet they are still as crucial and significant to the working of the kingdom of God as the others. So this morning we're going to just look at one such person for the sake of kind of springboarding into a message of instruction and encouragement, I'm hopeful. So if you'll turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, as Paul's closing out this letter, and we'll read just two verses, 21 and 22, and then we will pray. Let's stand together. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Ephesian church, verse 21 says, "But that you also may know about my circumstances, how I'm doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make everything known to you. And I have sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know about us, and that he may comfort your hearts." Let's pray together. Father, we look to you this morning because there's really nowhere else to look. Lord God, you hold the words of eternal life. You are the power. You are sovereign. You are righteous. You are God, and we're not. And Lord God, we look to you so that we might receive understanding and wisdom. Lord God, as you teach truth to us by your Spirit in our midst, that Lord God, we would be sensitive to that Spirit and receptive in our hearts. Lord God, give us eyes that see the way you want us to see. We want to be submissive to you, and we thank you for this great privilege to be together, to worship you, to praise you, and now to learn. And Lord God, we pray that what we learn here will be applied to our lives, that you might be exalted and your kingdom extended. We pray to your glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. A few weeks ago, as I'm reading through the scripture, I came across this passage and was impressed to spend a little time there. As I read the scripture through, I journal. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about the intentional spending a little more time in scripture, not just reading it dutifully and moving on to other things, but spending some time there and eating on and meditating on the truths that I'm discovering that the Lord's bringing to my attention during that time of reading. And this was one such passage where the mention of a man named Tychicus, not one that is most popular in scripture, doesn't get top billing when you're talking about the saints in the New Testament that were active in the working of the spreading of the gospel throughout Asia and Macedonia, but he is instrumental in working alongside the Apostle Paul, who was greatly instrumental. He was the one that got the top billing because he was the great evangelist, he was the great missionary, and yet Paul had many that worked with him and were servants and walked alongside him, and that ministry was a blessing because there were many behind the scenes. And there are people like that in all the churches that I've ever served, people who are behind the scenes, and they faithfully do their task. They don't necessarily want the spotlight. They don't necessarily want to be seen. They just simply want to be able to do their task, and they're good with that. And those are a blessing to any church and to any pastor. As I studied a little bit longer on this Tychicus and went back, all commentaries really agree that he was an Ephesian convert, only one of two Asian representatives that were chosen to help accompany the Apostle Paul on his return trip to Jerusalem with the offering for the poor at the church. If you remember, the saints had been under persecution in Jerusalem, and that Paul was, we talked a few weeks ago about in 2 Corinthians, Paul was encouraging the church at Corinth to take up a collection and be like those who were in Macedonia, who even though they were poor, they gave out of their poverty. They begged for the opportunity to be able to serve. Well, this was part of that offering, and Tychicus was one of several in an entourage that helped Paul to get those monies back to Jerusalem after they were collected. I'd like to take you to Acts chapter 20 for just a moment in the first five verses of that passage and read out of that chapter. "There was an uproar in Ephesus, and after the uproar had ceased, Paul sent for the disciples there at Ephesus, and when he had exhorted them and taken his leave of them, he departed to go to Macedonia. And when he had gone through those districts and had given them much exhortation, he came to Greece, and there he spent 3 months. And then a plot was formed against him by the Jews as he was about to set sail for Syria. He determined to return through Macedonia. He was accompanied by Sopater of Berea, the son of Pyrrhus, and by Aristarchus and Secundus, the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe and Timothy, and Tychicus and Trophimus of Asia. And these had gone ahead and were waiting for us at Troas, and we sailed from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came to them at Troas within 5 days, and there we stayed 7 days. And so Luke records that Tychicus was there after Paul had gone through these churches and collected this offering, this donation to be made to the saints at Jerusalem. And while he was there, the scripture tells us that he learned of a plot against him. When he traveled through the land of Israel and came up through Syria to go into the land of Macedonia. Well, he had desired to turn around and go back and revisit those places he had visited. But when he heard of the plot against him, he decided to take a ship and to come down and to miss Syria and to make his way back to Jerusalem so there wasn't much trouble. And so that alternate route was chosen, and the entourage included this young man named Tychicus, who was part of that group. We also know that eventually Paul commissioned Tychicus to deliver this very letter in Ephesus, to the church at Ephesus. And we find that there in those verses we read, that you can know about my circumstances and how I'm doing, that I'm sending Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister, and he'll make these things known to you. That's why I've sent him to you, for that purpose, that you can know about us and comfort your hearts. Paul had a unique relationship with those churches that he had established and that he had spent time investing in, that he loved them and they were concerned about his well-being as he traveled around to share the gospel and to plant churches. And so Tychicus would be one of those that would bring this letter to the church at Ephesus. He was also the one that would take the letter to the Colossians. In Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 through 9, we find the Apostle Paul writing these things. As to all my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bondservant in the Lord, will bring you information. I've sent him to you for this purpose, that you may know about our circumstances, that he can encourage your hearts, and with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother who's one of your number, they will inform you about the whole situation here. So Tychicus, on more than one occasion, was very necessary in the ministry of the Apostle Paul to be able to get news back to churches, to deliver letters back to churches. And from this, we can find out that Tychicus was fully capable of explaining how Paul was doing, having spent time with him. He was also capable of being able to explain the letters if there was any concern about the content or questions about any of the doctrine or any of the contents of the letters. Tychicus would be the one that Paul would depend on to deliver the letters and also to explain them to the recipients of the letters. And we find that Tychicus was commended to the congregations as dependable and to be received well by those congregations. So he was precious to the Apostle Paul. Paul would again mention Tychicus in his second letter to Timothy, where he announced he was sending Tychicus to Ephesus so Timothy could be relieved to get to Rome before Paul was executed. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 through 13, we find these words, "Make every effort to come to me soon. Demas has loved this present world. He's deserted me, gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you. He's useful for me for service. But Tychicus I've sent to Ephesus. And when you come, bring the cloak which I've left at Troas with Carpus and the books, especially the parchments." Well, Timothy was the pastor at Ephesus. And Paul was sending Tychicus to come and relieve him for a period of time so Timothy could come and visit Paul while he was in his last imprisonment before his execution. And so Tychicus was very special to the Apostle Paul. Paul also included Tychicus along with Artemas as a possible temporary replacement for Titus. In his letter, Titus chapter 3, verse 12, the Apostle Paul wanted Titus to come to him where he was in prison, and so he sent Tychicus to come and to be an elder in place of Titus. So we see that Tychicus was qualified, even as church leader, but there was so much more that he was doing as one of those behind the scenes. He was crucial in the life of the church and the ministry that the Apostle Paul had in delivering letters, making sure that there was encouragement, good reports, solid reports were made regarding his well-being and the well-being of the churches. And when I think about the season that we're in, just coming off of Thanksgiving, going into Christmas, that we should always be grateful for those around us that are used by the Lord, that have been a ministry to us, and that the Lord uses. I know as a pastor, I am grateful for many in this congregation who have been available and been used by the Lord on many occasions throughout this year, even in an unusual year like we've had, to be available to do ministry, to be able to do ministry in a very special way, and do it behind the scenes, not really wanting all of the accolades and the top billing that comes with ministry sometimes. But Tychicus-like people in our midst are a blessing, and they represent the hands and the feet of Christ. They are the ones that get down and do what might be called the dirty work in the trenches where others may not want to go, but they're always available and willing and eager to serve. These folks will often call the church and say, "Hey, what's going on? Is there somewhere where I can get plugged in? Is there somebody that has a need? Can I go run some errands for somebody?" Or they'll come by the office and they'll tell Tangi, I have some extra money this week. I want to give it to wherever there's a need financially. And oftentimes, I don't even know who these people are. Tangi will just come to me and say, "Somebody came by. We have some extra money. Is there some place where we need to direct these funds so that we can minister to somebody?" They want to do that. I am blessed that the Lord has people in our midst who are like that, who are gifted to those kinds of things, and also are not really wanting them to be broadcast that they're doing those kind of things. Tychicus never expected recognition. We don't find any hint of that. He wasn't looking for commendation. He was simply serving the Lord as he had opportunity. And whenever the Apostle Paul would ask him something, it seems like he just went without question. He just did whatever was needed to do. Those are the kind of qualities that are found not just in church leaders, but in those who work behind the scenes in our churches. And we know Tychicus was gifted to teach. He was probably considered an elder type, but he did many other things. Think about the tasks that we've just covered already. Traveling in an entourage, kind of like a security team for Paul so that he might not be harmed. Taking care of money. The old Pony Express would carry letters. Well, there were often times when money would be transported in the Old West on wagons, and you had a team there. Paul had his own entourage, a little security group that helped him to get from one place to another, and we're grateful for those kind of folks. Even in our church, we have gatekeeper ministry, and you don't always see these individuals, but they're around the church, and they're walking on the property, and they're walking around the building. They're making sure your cars aren't getting broken into, hopefully, and they're making sure that you're protected should someone try to come in and harm us. And so I'm grateful for those kind of folks. There are some men who, more than one occasion, have responded to the need for someone coming home from a hospital visit, and they need a ramp, or they need some special light construction done around their house so that the individual can come home a little bit easier and not have to struggle with getting into their own home. And without question, these men go, they get the job done, and it's done before you know it. And it's a blessing. It's a ministry to families. There are women in our church who contact the church office or who make visits to folks that are homebound and can't get out or maybe afraid to get out, and they run errands and they go shopping and they pick up mail and they take care of these individuals, whatever they might have, and they do it behind the scenes. They're not asking for anybody to give them recognition. They're not asking that somebody give them a big praise offering or anything. They're just doing that task because they've been enabled and the Holy Spirit is moving in their hearts. We oftentimes think that, well, people are just good. There's just a goodness in their hearts. That goodness wouldn't be there without the Lord intervening. That goodness, we'd just do our own thing. We'd be selfish with our own time if not for the intervention of the Holy Spirit of God to come into our hearts and help us to have other-mindedness rather than just selfishness. I think about youth in our church who help with our worship, either on the platform or behind the scenes as well. There are those, again, who come in the office and ask if there's any way they can have their offerings or their finances directed to be able to help others. And it's usually above and beyond their regular giving. It's just extra money that they want to minister with because the Lord's blessed them. I'm grateful for these kind of people. But the amazing thing about this is that it's not an accident when that's going on. It is God's design. And to speak to that, I'd like for us to just take a trek back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 for a moment. And to read a few verses, chapter 12, verses 12 through 26. And it's somewhat lengthy, but let's give some time to this passage of Scripture, if we will. The Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians, of course, 1 Corinthians is a letter of correction to the church. In chapter 11, that's where we find the Lord's Supper. He's correcting some error regarding the Lord's Supper. They had abused and misused the Lord's Supper, so he gives the proper order of that and then speaks about order in the church. And now he's speaking about the body of Christ, those in the church working together, and what that means. So in verse 12, even as the body is one, yet it has many members. And all those members of the body, though there are many, they're one body. So also is Christ. By one Spirit, we were all baptized into this one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. But the body's not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, it's not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body, it's not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. That's verse 18. I'm going to read that again. This is crucial to what we're speaking about this morning. But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body as he desires. It is God's working to put you in the body where you are and to serve the way he's called you to serve. That is God's doing. It's not just because you're good or you have some skills. God has placed you there for a purpose, and it's to his desire and glory that you're there. Verse 19, if they were all one member, then where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. The eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it's much truer that the members of the body that seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body that we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our unseemly members come to have more abundant seemliness, whereas our seemly members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member that lacks, so that there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. You're Christ's body. Now that's power-packed, that entire passage of Scripture. And right before that is where the Apostle Paul is speaking about the different gifts that are given to the church. And with the gifts given to the church, now all the members of the body who are gifted should work together. And in working together, we see the head, Christ Jesus, being exalted and being worshipped and being rightly raised up. And all the bodies working together in unity and knowing that they've been put in those places by the Lord God and by his desire. We oftentimes get a gift and we think, what am I doing in this gift? I am no good at this thing. And you might just be in the beginning processes of being trained and honed with the gift that God has placed upon you. You may be put in a ministry where you discover what your gift is not. And that is a blessing as well. God is preparing you. I recall back about 1984. Laura and I got married in 1983. I had a job as a draftsman for about 15 months. I got laid off a week before Laura and I got married. And after that, Laura needed help in vacation Bible school. I was in between tasks and had a couple of days off, so I thought, I will help in vacation Bible school this year. And Laura had a great age group. I know there were sixth graders in there. I don't know if there were fifth graders in there, but I know there were sixth graders in there. And I thought I could help them. And while I was there, I learned very quickly that At that time, I was not yet equipped to handle sixth graders. And we won't go into details, but Laura very quickly found another place for me to serve, and it was not with sixth graders. Now, that doesn't mean that I haven't come around. That just means at that time, I was not prepared. But that's the process that the Lord uses oftentimes when He gifts us to see those gifts honed so they come to the place where we use them to the glory of God. And we need to understand that. A couple of things I want to point out here is that none of us has the right to disqualify ourselves from serving. Not one of us. You may not be a teacher or a preacher, but you say, well, the gift that I have is not important, so I'm not going to exercise it. Notice what we read there in verse 15. A foot should say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not part of the body. It's not for this reason any less part of the body. If the ear says, I'm not an eye and I'm not part of the body, it's not for any reason less part of the body. You can't disqualify yourself just because you're not the preacher or the teacher or just because you don't have a prominent position. You may be the little pinky on the body, but you have great importance in the body. And the Lord's called you to that for His desire and for His purposes. And it's greatly important that you serve where you've been called to serve and with the gift that God has placed in your life to do so. What we need to do is submit to God's divine wisdom as to putting us in that particular place of service and trusting Him as He hones us and brings us to the place where we can be used by Him in a way that glorifies the head of the body, who is Christ Jesus. That is the whole purpose of us being gifted. It is not for our own benefits that we might have a particular gift. It is for the edification of the body, that the body be strengthened, and it's also for the exaltation of the head, who is Christ Jesus, so that He is lifted up and that He is pointed to as the one deserving all the credit and the glory for whatever's done in and through us. Another thing, not only can you not disqualify yourself, but verse 21 reveals you can't disqualify somebody else just because they don't measure up to where you are. You can't point to them and say they're not useful. Look at verse 16. The ear should say verse 15, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, if that's what the foot says. Or the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body. Well, that's saying I can't do that. But then verse 20, 21, the eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you, or to the head, to the feet, I have no need of you. I can look and see something, but an eye can't necessarily minister there if it doesn't have the hand to help it. A head can see, a head can determine that there's a need somewhere, but it can't get to where the need is without the feet. You can't disqualify someone else just because they're not a prominent person in the body of Christ. Every one of us has a necessary purpose, and we have no right to disqualify someone else when God has placed them there in that body for a particular purpose. As we grow in our faith, we require guidance and counsel to help us discover this area of giftedness. And sometimes it's hit and miss. Sometimes it takes a little while for us to grow. But every one of us has purpose. And you can't shoot someone else down or even your own self down. You trust the Lord. Again, His sovereign will is to be submitted to. And even when we think someone else is not measuring up, we are patient with them. We talked about patience last week. Forbearing with one another, being patient with one another. No one's at the same level of spiritual maturity than another. We're all in process, and so we're to be patient. Now notice here, as we continue in this passage of Scripture, God's composed the body, giving more abundant honor to a member that lacked. I think about people that serve in our congregation who may not be on the forefront. We have some workers in the nursery, and some of you parents notice them because you drop your children off, but the rest of us kind of take that for granted. There are some people down there that hardly ever get to the worship service. They have to watch it on the screen in there if they're going to worship, but they take care of our children. They nurture those children while we're in here worshiping. They're crucial to the ministry. Folks that work in Sunday school classes and maybe in the little kids' classes, and you think, what in the world could they be learning? They're learning a lot. They're being invested in. The Lord is planting seeds through those individuals into the children that are in their classes. That when we look at those that are serving in our midst as gatekeepers, those that are in the sound booth and the audio booth, the only time you notice them is when something's not working on the microphone or on the screen. That's usually when we look over on those booths to see what's going on up there. How come you're not doing your job right? They're working hard. And boy, if the tables were turned, you would want to be in that booth where you could just duck down too when people look to you. It's a tough job, but it's crucial. It's crucial to our worship experience for the sound and the screen and the words on the screen. We need those. And there are many others. When you leave this sanctuary this morning, you know what's going to happen? You're going to leave out of here and somebody else is going to come in here and they're going to spray this entire thing to disinfect it. And they're going to wipe seats down so that it's safe for the next time we come in and worship. And you'll be off to going to lunch or whatever and you won't even think about it, but somebody is doing the work behind the scenes. It's crucial for ministry that even those who are behind the scenes be noted as those who are part of the body of Christ and serving so that the body of Christ is functioning in a proper manner. I've been an athlete for more years than I was in the ministry. And my body, my human body, has gotten older with age. Well, what I've noticed is that when one body part starts to hurt or gets hurt badly, the rest of the body doesn't function the same. Every body needs every part to be working properly for us to be as efficient and effective as possible. And the same is true in the Christian body. Jesus Christ is the head. We have all the wisdom and all the goodness and all the righteousness that we need. Now it's up to us as the body to be submissive to that head and work together. And to work together and do our part so that we see Christ exalted and we see the body ministered to. And it's good for us in the body to do that and to see it. It encourages us. What a testimony it is also to the world outside these walls who do not know Christ yet. They need to see the testimony of the church working together. And so it's crucial. We need leaders, but every member of the body is of importance in the body of Christ and has a part, and we're all responsible to one another. Let us be true and good stewards with the gift that God has given us because He is pleased where He has put each one of us in the body. May we be faithful to that. Now listen, I've talked a lot about being in the body. It's crucial that in order to be in the body, you have to be born again. There has to be a spiritual experience where you are transformed from the old life into a new life. And that's a supernatural act of God. And perhaps you've come to the place where you recognize that you're a sinner. The scripture, the gospel message is that if you're a sinner and you repent, you turn to God, you can be saved. And whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a supernatural work of God inside your life that brings you into the family of faith so that you can be filled with this Holy Spirit who brings gifts into your body so that now you're a part of the body that works together. But until you're born again, you're not part of that body. If the Lord has stirred you in drawing you to Himself, I encourage you, let this church know. Identify with us so we can work with you and grow with you and serve alongside you as we serve our exalted head, Christ Jesus, and see Him lifted up to the glory of God and also for the salvation of those in our community who need to hear about Christ. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to this time of response, time of invitation, the time of responding to this word that You have revealed to us today, I pray, Father, that we will be honest, not only with ourselves, but with You, Lord God, that we will recognize our place as being crucial in the body, that You placed us where You want us. We can't disqualify ourselves. We have no business trying to disqualify others. And Lord God, we have a unity that we're to be working towards so that we grow up strong in the body of faith to give honor and glory to our head, Christ Jesus. Thank You for salvation, bringing us into this family of faith, bringing us into this body. And Lord God, for the privilege that it is to serve You in the ways that You've gifted us to do so. Lord God, I pray for that one or more that may need to trust Christ today or perhaps have, but have yet to identify with a church body. We pray, Father, that You would move them by Your Spirit to where You want them to be. Lord God, we can celebrate with them, we can grow with them, and we can see You do Your mighty work in our midst through the body that You put here. Lord God, bring us from where we are to where you need us to be. We pray to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. As Brother Alec and Hannah lead us, let's stand together. And opportunity to respond is here. The altar's open. I'll be here at the front to pray with you if you need it.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior.
Father, we're so grateful to you for being our God. And thankful, Father, that in your divine wisdom you have put your body together. We pray, Father, that we find contentment, satisfaction in your choice. And that as we serve, Lord God, we look to the benefit of our fellow believers and also to this community. But especially that you might be exalted. Thank you, Father, for all you've invested in your people. May we be found good stewards of that which you have invested in our lives. We pray to your glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Brother Alec will close us out. I'll see you in the hallway. God bless. Don't forget to come back tonight. We're going to have discipleship study tonight.
Church, as we prepare to go, we're going to sing the first verse of Come Thou Long Expected Jesus together.
Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, born to set Thy people free from our fears and sins. Release us, let us find our rest in Thee. Israel's strength.
Dismissed.